Welcome to Modular March. I'm Andy, this is Robbie, and we are The Roll-Up.
Modular March is an educational experience about all things modular. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Modular Penguin Modular March episode today with Ishay from Dimension. Ishay, it's good to have you back, sir. Just three penguins building cool shit.
Definitely. I'm excited. And I'm excited to, you know, see the Roll-Up grow into this great brand by two, you know, base penguins. So happy to be here and happy to be part of the penguin crew here.
Yeah. I mean, last time we spoke, Dimension was just on the cusp of launching the token and kind of getting out of the gates. And I know that we kind of talked about that as being the beginning. So maybe you just want to catch us all up as far as kind of all the progress so far, and then we can dive into some more of the nitty gritty.
Yeah, definitely. So last time we spoke, it was pre-launch, I guess. And, you know, a lot of excitement. We launched something that maybe it's important to note that, you know, we've been building for 2 years. There's a lot of code. And once you ship this amount of like code and a lot of complexities, you have to do it a little bit gradual. So even in the start, like we had unexpected things that we didn't know, like there's so many moving parts. So you have to ship a system in the scope, in the size of Dimension in a gradual way. And this is why we figured, okay, we have to do it like our mainnet article, like we're going to do the singularity point, like, okay, let's make sure that Dimension Hub is stable, that liquidity and bridging, everything works. And it's a big challenge. People sometimes think about, okay, yeah, you know, where's everything at day one? But you obviously, there's a lot of moving parts with liquidity that we've done so successfully. So it's so happy. I'm so happy to see it, like everything flowing into Dimension, getting all the bridging connections, getting the stake acquired and distributed through the set, also very challenging, getting governance proposals. All of this operation is so important for the stability of a network like Dimension, which will provide a lot of settlement properties to other blockchains. So getting this done is very important. We're at the end of this. 2D, which is the upgrade for permission Roll-Apps, is coming, is in audit right now, and is expected to be here very, very, very soon. So I'm super excited about that. There's a lot of cool stuff coming in. EIBC, which not sure how many know about how cool EIBC is and how it's going to affect a lot of the ecosystem. Actual Roll-Apps and fraud proofs, which is insane. Like a lot of people are talking about fraud proofs. Like OP Stack has been out there, you know, 2 years, 3 years, and we're, you know, we're building fraud proofs, and we're highly excited about seeing this kind of work in the wild. It's still another gradual release, but it's getting shipped, it's getting built, and it's real.
Yeah, those are other optimistic Roll-Ups cannot say the same, but refrain from that. Now, let's dive a bit deeper into EIBC and how that is kind of intertwined with Roll-Ups. So from my understanding, all the Roll-Ups on Dimension are able to basically interoperate with each other through IBC. But now you're kind of mentioning your version of IBC almost, or some sort of extra compatibility. So what does EIBC mean? How does this kind of work as it's live?
Yeah, sure. EIBC, it stands for Escrow IBC. So it's a protocol on top of IBC. So we use IBC as kind of the main, I'd say, main infrastructure point in Dimension. We look at IBC as the most credible neutral protocol and kind of the TCP IP of crypto. No token, just extremely useful, battle tested. So why aren't we using just regular IBC is the question, but and the answer is we're using IBC from the hub to all the rollups. It's IBC, it's just regular IBC. And from the rollups to the hub, it's something that we call eIBC, and it's a very cool innovation because it actually hits like two birds with one stone. So the problem with optimistic rollups, right, is the fraud-proof dispute period and the kind of ability, or the assumption is that somebody's running or validating the rollup. So what eIBC does is, in essence, it's like an intent-based bridge where if somebody wants to get out of a rollup, he shoots out an IBC message. It gets to the Dimension hub. It gets escrowed. And then if somebody wants to pull you out, he just sends the funds for you and you get them on the hub while he takes the risk. So everybody could do that. It's an open market. It's basically a market for future receivables, if you want to think about it that way. And you get, you know, instant withdrawals, and you get somebody who needs to verify the rollup to reduce the risk to zero. So Andy, imagine that, you know, Robbie's on a rollup. He wants to withdraw his 100 USDC. You're running the rollup node. You know the rollup is fine. You're going to send the 100 USDC to Robbie on the hub. And you're going to get Robbie's IBC delay transaction after the fraud dispute period. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And is it also a 7-day period?
Yes, not. but you're not gonna notice it. Like it is a 7-day period, but users are not gonna notice it. It's not, we are in the business of making the modular stack, you know, working just in terms of UX the best possible way. We're abstracting everything. Dimension is all about creating this experience where you don't even have to know all these technicals. But essentially what happens with eIBC is either the sequencer or a market maker who knows that the rollup is safe is going to pull you out because he's going to make a small fee out of it. And from that, you're going to get, you know, the best UX. You're going to get all the rollups verified, and you're going to get like the speed and capabilities that like a rollup has. So you're really creating a system that is super scalable. So for example, you can do ZK. We will in the future have like ZK capabilities. You could choose, but essentially an optimistic rollup in terms of performance is just way more performant. So once you have somebody verifying it and you don't have any fraud proof time, it's the best, like it's one of the best architectures that I can think of.
Is this similar to the intent centric bridging solutions that are out there now, where a market maker will fill someone on the destination chain and then they'll take that? Okay, yeah. So they're essentially providing that fast path, right? Where the canonical way is traditional IBC, and that's kind of like the slow but very, very secure path. And in order for to get users the best experience, we have this eIBC to provide a fast path, give users their funds quickly, and then these fillers are repaid, they take the slow path, and they make a fee out of it.
Exactly. Perfect. And the slow path that they're taking is actually IBC. What you're doing is you're basically selling them your delayed IBC for getting the liquidity immediately. You're not even, you know, it's not even taking a risk for you. You're getting it immediately.
Yeah. And I think we've seen that, like, this is the solution that users want for interop. It provides bridge transactions. I've seen less than a second before in some of these intent-centric solutions. So to hear that is the interop solution for rollups on Dimension, I think that's extremely positive. Now, like, could you kind of tell us, like, what is the landscape for rollups on Dimension now? You know, what kind of, like, what's coming up next? Mainnet launched maybe 2 weeks ago. Now it seems like there's like a grants program that's happening on Dimension, and there's a ton of things that I imagine are going to be coming into the fold pretty soon. Like, what are some of the technical innovations or use cases or apps that are coming to Dimension that aren't really possible anywhere else?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm super excited about the funnel that we built in Dimension. Like, contrary to like other ecosystems, or like what I want to focus on in terms of Dimension, is that Dimension provides liquidity and users for the rollup. So this is kind of the package that we wanna showcase here. Dimension is kind of this blockchain marketplace where you come with your own blockchain or your own app, and we connect you to users and liquidity. And what's important about that, we also expose these rollup builders to all these, you know, dime stakers and to the community, and help them with everything, like everything from A to Z. They're getting all the support, and we're doing this funnel. Now it's kind of the first time, so we're trying to make it like as perfect as possible for it to be like a mean machine of like, okay, you're constantly going to get these new rollups, new innovations, like we're seeing with NIM. You know, there's a lot of cool stuff coming up. I don't want to spoil it, but there's like this very nice funnel of gradually building in rollups into the Dimension ecosystem until we get this very mature rollup environment. And then we just pull the plug and say, guys, everything is permissionless. Governance is not going to interfere. And this is what makes Dimension, you know, kind of mind blowing in terms of how it scales exponentially without no like interference of governance or anything like that. And this is why I'm so like bullish about like the underlying aspects of Dimension, where we just say like human ingenuity is gonna make sure that, you know, we're gonna see a lot of cool stuff. People by nature, when you give them the capability to connect to liquidity and users and build their own chain, that's something that's pretty incredible. Like, you don't have that I'd say any other place. If you're deploying a rollup on Ethereum, you don't get like the same community, same community push that Dimension brings to the table. In terms of use cases and very cool stuff that are coming, I really recommend people to look into NIM. Like, NIM is doing something that's gonna you know, twist a lot of heads, and I'm super, super curious to see how this turns out. There's also rivals. There's a lot of AI use cases coming into Dimension. I'm a big fan of having fun and playing around with games, and like my motto is for Dimension UX is deposit, play, withdraw, and yeah, very curious to see where all of this is going.
Yeah, and I think the cool part about NIM specifically is these kind of AI agents being able to interoperate amongst all these different kind of, I guess, rollups as well, and that's enabled through this EIBC and this kind of intents-based interoperability mechanism, which I think is super cool.
Yeah, for EIBC, actually, you know, I didn't even know like it's intent-based. We had this problem for a long time, like a year ago, even more, like I'd say like maybe 16 months ago. I always kept thinking, okay, how do we, you know, get through the issue of people waiting? Nobody's going to wait. Nobody is waiting in technology. Technology always moves forward, so we have to create the solution. And then when we came up with EIBC, before I didn't even know what intent means. Like, intent is kind of a new word. And now that we have these intent-based bridges, I understand that, okay, this is it. So so it's interesting to see, you know, how you get into a problem, you create a solution for it, and there's like all these different variations for it already.
Yeah, and I think this idea for the community is like, okay, I get to stake my dime or my DIM, and then I get access to these different applications, whether it be through like token distributions or just access from the base layer. And kind of for us, it ends up making it a much easier ecosystem to interact with, which is ultimately kind of the end goal. When these rollups are, you know, talking to the team about launching and things, what kind of questions are they asking about the users, about the community, about the stakers, about liquidity, and kind of how are you helping to facilitate more in depth, you know, the successful launch of rollups on DIM? Because again, from my perspective, the success of Dimension is ultimately how many really damn good applications we can build on top of it. Yeah,
that's true. So obviously, you know, this is new to us as well. Taking a rollup from A to Z is something that we want to be the best at. And I'd say this, like, we deployed a chain, right? We it's hard. We did this like on testnet. We did this on second test. We did this for like a year. So we came to the understanding of how you need to do these things, not just on a technical level, but also from a community level, also from like a, I'd say a liquidity level. What's the infrastructure that's needed? RPC endpoints, block explorers, connections with exchanges, bridging, all of that. It takes a lot of ops and it takes a lot of experience. And now that we've done that for quite a while, we try to get the best, like the best pinpoints that we learned, and we try to commoditize it and help like everybody who wants to have their own chain, their own ecosystem, their own like mini ecosystem within Dimension with their block explorer, with their chain. And we try to perfect it. And this is, I think, what, you know, what contributed to our success on testnet is we scaled it. We scaled the operational overhead that it takes to deploy a chain, and we brought it into something that's very easy, very fun, and very, very exciting for people to interact with. We're trying to do the same thing right now on mainnet. And yeah, we're looking forward to being good at that as well, and to bring a lot of projects.
I think we've gone almost this entire conversation without saying the word modular. So I want to talk about the modularity of Dimension. And there's a really cool article that you guys put out there kind of describing the transformation from a singularity, from that single point to 2D, 3D, and then 4D. Could you talk us through that progression? You guys, you know, went through the singularity, the genesis of Dimension. Now we're in this draft phase for 2D permissioned rollups. Could you talk us through what happens from 2D to 3D and then 3 to 4D?
Yeah, sure. I think a lot, you know, of Dimension is coming together so nicely, even like with like envisioning like, okay, what is the singularity point? It's like the genesis point. It's the start. It's somewhere stable that you start with, and then you add another dimension. And what happens when you add another dimension? There's more things that you wanna make sure that are being built correctly. And this is what the 2D phase is. So upgrading the code base to 2D, you know, this is real money. This is security. This is a lot of code auditing that we're doing to make sure that everything is stable and safe. And we don't wanna, you know, go from a point where we have one L1 blockchain, which is a challenge by itself, to having, you know, 10,000 chains that we're securing. It's a gradual process, and 2D is a part of it. So I'd say that's kind of coming up right now. But what's interesting is the 2D to the 3D phase, where, you know, you're actually going to have fraud proofs in the wild. People are going to deploy rollups permissionlessly with an enshrined bridge into the Cosmos ecosystem, enabling IBC connection to the entire IBC network. And all of this is going to just work permissionlessly. It's gonna imitate like a server coming into the internet. You know, if you think about the internet like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when it all started, you know, we hope to see that, you know, it's going to grow very organically and very exponentially with our architecture. I'd say the difference between 3D and 4D is a lot of surprises that we have in mind of how we create this circular economy and how we create an ecosystem that is very sustainable. But there's lots to come. And, you know, we haven't spoken, we didn't say modular one time, but the future is modular. And you know, we're gonna showcase that modular also means that the UX improvements are going to reach like every user and every builder.
Yeah, and I think that like what we're getting at here is that this modular ecosystem is going to expand, and Dimension's playing a part of it with your kind of roadmap going from where you are with kind of these permissioned deployments all the way to just kind of anybody can come in and do things in a very streamlined fashion. And I think outside of Dimension, there's going to be a big expansion of modular tooling infrastructure coming live. I'm curious if you guys are able to collaborate or interoperate with some of the other modular stacks coming out, or, you know, partners, whether it be like RPCs like like Lava or like interoperability protocols like Hyperlane Union or some of these alternative VM rollups. If there's like, I'm just generally curious what your perception is on how you plan to either compete or collaborate with these all these different projects launching in the next 6 months. I think this modular expansion is really about to unfold. And so I'm curious how you see it playing out and where Dimension kind of fits and competes and collaborates.
Yeah, I think like being modular is actually, you know, the center of it all. So being modular means that you focus and you build the best component that you can, and you integrate other modular systems to create the best solution. And this is what modular means in essence. With that said, you don't have to integrate, you don't have to partner up with everybody if it doesn't really make sense for you, right? You want to make sure that you are capable that, you know, other builders or other infrastructure providers could integrate Dimension or could integrate any other modular solution. So we can cooperate and have this diverse, or I'd say, bigger choice kind of stack where like front end technologies and back end technologies, you can shift them and you can play around with them. This is the goal. But with that said, like you can't, for example, if we're doing IBC, it doesn't make sense for us to integrate a lot of like bridging providers, right? We believe that IBC is like the core bridging aspect of Dimension. So it doesn't make sense for us to cooperate like in terms of getting other bridging providers. In terms of RPC, yeah, Lava makes a lot of sense. Lava is very interesting. In terms of DAs, getting as much DAs as possible is great. And there's other kind of creative solutions that are coming up. And, you know, we're very much thrilled to cooperate with everybody in the modular ecosystem. But it needs to be with a purpose that actually benefits the user. This is something that is super important for me. Like, we are in this to create an abstraction and to create the best experience for users. Users, for all they care, they deposit, they just have the great experience as if they're on a Web2 game or website or financial application, and then they could safely withdraw their money or the value to their wallet.
Yep. So I think it, go ahead.
Yes, sorry. So will rollups, so the rollups that are launching now, they're going to settle their data to Dimension, but you're saying that future rollups or even the ones now could switch to Celestia, Veil, Near, Eigen, et cetera. Like those rollups will be able to settle to a modular DA layer.
So the way that the Dimension architecture works is a rollup can choose where they want to post data. Right, it's just like choosing a database, for example. I know obviously DA is not equivalent to data storage, but just for the purpose of explaining it easily, you're building a web application, you need a place to store data, you need a place that calculates or acts as a server, and you need a place to for users to interact with your app. So on Dimension architecture, rollups builders can choose where they want to post data. So that's very important. So we can have Celestia, for example, could have other interchain providers, and then they could choose which VM they want to use. For example, they want EVM, they want Wasm, in the future SVM, maybe Fuel. There's a lot of providers working on the execution innovations. So this is where kind of the modularity hits, that you can choose each part of the stack according to what fits you and according to what fits your use case the best. And this is why I believe that like modular is not the question of, you know, if it's going to happen, it's just a question of when it's going to be fully, fully mature.
Amazing. And I think we're seeing it play out in real time. With modularity in general, we're seeing these solutions start to get built and the connectivity to these infrastructures start to get built. On Dimension specifically, we're starting to see that upgrade from 1D to 2D. Obviously, that calls for some sort of interop, even more so from 2D to 3D when Dimension goes permissionless. I want to talk a little bit, and I realize we're running tight on time. So could you just kind of take us through like what the liquidity looks like? Dimension's unique design here allows for apps, roll apps to get the this liquidity and this user base from the Dimension Hub specifically. So like for the builders out there listening to this video, they're you know, looking at Dimension, they see this abundant liquidity and users that are available for building on Dimension. What is like the game theory? What is the incentive mechanism design for builders to build these roll apps on Dimension?
That's an amazing question, because I feel like you have to have, like, every startup has to stimulate growth and provide the capabilities. So, you know, what we're doing is, first of all, we're giving the ability for builders to have, you know, to have users, to have liquidity. You're building an app. If you're just building out there, it's very hard to connect to users. It's very hard to get there. So a good example would be on Amazon, right? You're selling shoes, and somebody, you know, searches for shoes and gets to Amazon, it gets to your shop and you can buy it, and Amazon takes care of shipping. It takes care of all the logistics. But if you're just building a website on the internet, it's very hard to reach you. And this is what Dimension brings to the table. It gives you this A to Z kind of experience, where if you're building a blockchain application, you're getting your infrastructure, you're getting access to the users, and you're getting access to the to liquidity. Getting back to your question, Robbie, is how do we incentivize? How do we do that? So first of all, liquidity is key. Like money, settlement is where money lives. And you want to be close to that. You want to have the ability for all this money to come into your roll app and to, you know, to use your services. This is something that's very important for us. And what we do is we, in the 3D phase, you're going to get incentives for bringing TVL to your roll app. This is something that I believe is going to be crucial, because if your roll up is succeeding, right, you're attracting capital, you need more capital to grow. And Dimension as a protocol has this budget to subsidize these rollups and to bring that liquidity into the rollups and to reward them. And this is a flywheel effect. On top of that, the Dimension, I'd say the Dimension application, as well as the blockchain, we enable all these rollups, or just anybody actually, to incentivize the pairs. So if you go right now to portal.dimension.xyz, get into any pair, right? Any pool. You can say, you know what? I'm incentivizing the Dime Stride pool. Why? I don't know. I want to incentivize it. Maybe it's my token and I want to get it distributed to these LPs. Maybe it doesn't matter. The point is, we're giving good tools and good ways for rollup developers, first of all, to attract liquidity to their native token if they wish to do that. Second of all, to get attention. And obviously to get the capability of actually moving the liquidity of their token or other tokens like USDC or valuable assets to their rollup. And this is something that I think that is very unique to Dimension. Like the aggregation layer, I know that Polygon is also doing something like this, that they call it the ag layer. I find it very similar to Dimension, to be honest. But Dimension does this kind of on the L1 native layer with the enshrined AMM and with the enshrined rollup bridge under one chain.
Yeah, it almost reminds me of like bearer chain proof of liquidity in a sense. Different models, but kind of an idea around A, permissionless liquidity, and B, just kind of always having deep books for users on chain. You know, which I think is crucially important. So, Yishay, any kind of closing thoughts as we wrap up here?
I'd say this: the more we go forward in Dimension, the more you know, I feel that we're getting closer to a product that is built for users and is built for builders, both at the same time. We want to be pragmatic. We want to allow people to build things that people like and to have the best experience. And this is why we're focused on building. And this is why we're doing what we're doing. We're not building for the tech. We're building for the users. We're building the tech for the product and the users. And I'm excited to see a lot of cool stuff coming up, which, you know, you're going to see it very, very soon. A lot of surprises, a lot of interesting aspects, and a lot of things to wait.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. And Penguins, just keep building. We are the Builders PFP. That's it.
Definitely. Appreciate the time, guys. Always a pleasure. You know, I'm waiting for the next one that we're doing when 2D becomes closer to 3D, and we'll keep on doing this every upgrade.
Sounds great.